Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Father God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor this morning. Thanking you because you're God all by yourself. Hallelujah. All by yourself. Thanking you for all the good things that you're doing, how you've proven and showing yourself strong. Not that you have to do that for us, but because you love us so much. Thank you for it this morning. I gotta make this announcement. I'm not going to be able to complete this revival. I think God wanted me to do it to just so that it could be done. But for the month of December, I just don't think I... No, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I can't finish it. When God tells me to do it again, I'll do it again. But there will be days when I'll be on here just doing noonday prayer. But some things came up yesterday. See, brothers and sisters, when you are faithful to God, God, he's going to be faithful to you and me as best as we allow him to. Let me put it that way. Because everything is predicated on faith. This, remember I kind of told you, I said, this is the time. Well, maybe I didn't. I don't know. But anyway, if anybody would know, Jessica, you could let me know. But this is, we all have a season. You know, you have a season when things just, good things just seem to happen for you automatically in this particular season. Mine is always this season, kind of like fall of the year, September, October, November. It just works out that way, December. And as a matter of fact, we moved into this church in January. And we came to Dalton in around, man, let's see. I don't remember the exact date, but it was in the fall of the year. So when we first came here, remember, I didn't know not one person, not one. So I didn't come here looking to take anything or glean off of anybody else's fields. I came here with my own ministry that God had given me, and I intended to flow in that ministry. And in this Bible Belt here, you got a lot of people who think, we got it. We got the answer. Everybody else going to hell. And so I came here because of a revival that was in Chucky, Tennessee. That's how we got here, roundabout way. Chucky, Tennessee is over near the Virginia border, because Georgia's northeast borders Virginia and South Carolina. Anyway, the Carolinas. So I really, 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 really love Tennessee. I mean, I just like Tennessee. I never really knew why, but, and I really like Georgia too. I always have. Every time we would cross over from South Carolina into Georgia, it was always invigorating to me. I always felt good about it. So I felt really good, God moving us here. And I felt even better watching God supply all of our needs here. Watching God do things even before God supplied, even before we knew we needed it, God supplied it. And there was a lot of contending. even in my life, spiritual warfare and missionary, there was always a lot of contending. Meaning, you know, fighting spiritually and naturally. So a fight came up yesterday. And the people the fight came up with, they thought I was like a wimp. And see, sometimes you don't fight in the battle. Sometimes you have to. That's why God sent me to the house right up the road up there in Georgia. That General Sherman strategized the plans to beat the South. It was called like Total War, Total Warfare. That was the name of his plan. And so the first place God sent us to was there and the house of Chief Van. Chief Van was a very educated Cherokee Indian. And they took his house. They not only took his house, they took, but the house is still there. It's a historic landmark now. And that's when they marched the Indians on the Trail of Tears from the Carolinas over to the West, Oklahoma, and put them on those reservations. But it wasn't without a fight. So I knew I was going to have to fight here, because that's why God will take you someplace, and he'll show you the history of it. And he will really impart into you whatever it is he needs to impart into you for you to be victorious. With me, it happened that then, where Sherman formulated the plan, stood in the very room. I stood in the very room, and it's a historic site now, but they have an old uniform there. And I stood between the uniform and the area where his desk was, which still is a desk. And I prayed to God. And I said, God, you gave General Sherman the plan. I said, obviously, this was the spot where that general could communicate with you and talk to you. So I got out by myself. I left Brother Joe and Jose in another room, because you could see the house was turned into a hospital for Union soldiers. And when I got off to myself, I stood in that spot and I prayed to God. And I said, God, you're the same God imparted into that general how to win. And I talked to God and I said, I need that. I need a strategy from you how to win. I said, I don't want to be like General Sherman, because he killed everything in his path and everybody, and his men pillaged. I said, I just want a strategy. That's all I want. I want a strategy. Did God answer me back? No, not then. Because then, by then, Brother Joe and all the people had come down there where I was. And then the lady was explaining to them what that room was. But God had already told me what the room was and where to stand. And where the man was when he gave him the strategy. So we left. Oh, I bought a picture. Yeah. I bought a picture of the house. A nice litho. That's what I bought, a litho. And I didn't have no extra money or anything, so I just framed it up myself. And I hung it on the wall in the healing home. I didn't even hang it in our house. I hung it in the healing home. So when we closed the healing home down to move into the church, I finally got it framed up nicely. And I had it sitting, leaning on the first pew across from where I do the podcast. And after it came back from Hobby Lobby, that's where I got it framed at, Hobby Lobby. I looked at it and I said, God, I need another strategy. I said, but this time I need it right here. I said, I want this to be a battle headquarters right here, this church. No sooner than I said that, than a battle ensued. And it looked like I could not win this battle because I didn't know what I was fighting against. But I knew something. I knew something was trying to push me back. So I said, not today, devil. Not this time. So the battle came to a head yesterday. And the thief was exposed. And God said to me, he said, now you asked me for a strategy. I said, yeah. He said, you've been fighting and winning because I could not have given you a strategy in words and you followed it. This was a strategy you had to work out and live out. I said, okay. And I was just talking about it with Brother Joe and Jose. He said, now, the strong man over Georgia is the thief. I said, really? He said, and haven't you noticed ever since you moved in the church, not before you moved in the church, but ever since you moved in the church, you've been fighting the thief of one way or another? I said, yeah. He said, yeah. And the thief does what? I said, he come to steal, kill, destroy. He said, that's the strong man that Satan is really using against the people of God. I said, really? I said, how you win? how do I win? He said, well, you just won. It took me all day. It took me fighting all day to win yesterday. But in the long run, I won. And the spoils will be here. What I was fighting for would be here around 10 or 11. But if the thief had overcome me, and this the Lord said, I would have been fighting all over again until I learned how to overcome this. He said the 3 days that you spent, those 3 days, Erica, was to give you rest. I said, huh? He said, yeah. He said, the biggest thing I wanted you to do was to be disciplined to rest. I said, to rest? He said, yeah, to enter into my rest and let me fight while you rest. And I said, well, God, the first day I watched that thing, it wasn't resting. The second, the third, I said, I didn't feel. He said, but you weren't fighting either. you would just calm and listening. You were listening for me. He said, most people don't know that my word is true when I said to every time there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. He said, there's a time when you have to enter into my rest. And when you enter into my rest, I'm doing the fighting. He said, no, not me, but my methods and my people. And the same way when you were fighting, they were resting. And when you were when you were resting, they were fighting. I said, I'm getting this. I'm getting this. And that's when he gave me Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9-10. Because I had to win that battle yesterday, and I won. And I had to tell the devil in the devil's ear this. I said to the devil, I said, we live in a real world. And in a real world, there's a real devil. And the real devil does real things to real people. Really. I said, but the good news is that we have a real God who's greater than any real devil. I spoke those words to the person I was fighting against, the demons in the person I was fighting against. And I told the person with the demons I was fighting against, I said, Jesus won again. I said, so the next time you decide to steal something from somebody, you better ask God who they are. And you better know who you're trying to steal from. I said, because you weren't trying to steal from me. You were trying to steal from God. They burst out crying. So what did I learn? What did I learn? I learned the same thing God told those Israelites. And he told Moses. He said, stand still. The enemy you see today, you will see him no more. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It was a serious battle. But when I decided to put on my fireman's boots and grab my police badge and stand and don't budge, things happen. Things happen. The Bible says in Hebrews, oh yeah, by the way, I might call up some of you. I almost forgot that part. After I won the battle, I had mentioned to somebody who came here to be delivered drunk as 10 skunks, drunk. And I remember telling their wife, I said, this person is a genius. I said, the devil just got him with alcohol. The number one drug killer, I believe. I said, but I have an anointing over alcoholics, because I used to make so many alcoholics when I was in the whiskey business and the beer business. I asked God for that. And sure enough, the person got free from the alcoholic demon. And I wasn't thinking another thing about it, because generally when I pray for people, I don't see them again in life. But after I won that battle, I got a phone call. And they said, Dr. Erica, and then they told me who they were. They said, didn't you at one time want to live on Lookout Mountain? I said, yeah, I did. But I said, that property up there is so expensive. It's way out of my budget. I said, one time, he said, yeah. He said, but didn't you look at Signal Mountain? I said, yeah. I said, but Signal Mountain, as beautiful as it was overpriced for me. I said, but I got a church now anyway. They said, yeah, we know. He said, but somebody, he told me who it was, the same drunk I'm telling y'all about, told me to call you up because my daddy owns some land up there on Lookout Mountain. And he passed away. I said, from COVID? He said, no. He said, from old age. He was 94. He said, but there's a little piece of property up there. He said, that I was told to call you that you might want to put a, maybe just a little mountain house where people can go and fast and pray. I said, somebody sure knows me that told you to call me. He said, well, just do me a favor. I said, okay. He said, go look at it. Just go look at it. And if you like it, he said, we want to sell it to you. I said, I can't afford to live up there. I don't want to live up there anyway. I live in my church. He said, but for a retreat house, a prayer house, he said, you're spending money in the hotels. And that's what the drunk had told him, the former drunk. He said, you're spending money putting people in hotels and stuff. It wouldn't it be better to have your own? I said, well, I'm trying to fix up the church. He said, own the mountain, Erica. And when he said own the mountain, he got my attention. So I said, Bro Joe, put this in the Garmin. Put this address in the Garmin. Bro Joe, put the address in the Garmin. And I went and looked at it on Google. It is literally at the top of the, almost at the top of the mountain. It is, but now you got to understand, I forgot all about this. It was like a pipe dream. And so I said, the Lord say, go look at it. We went, we looked. See, we're not used to driving around them mountains on the edge, you know. And we got up there, and it's this the raggediest shack you ever want to see, with four little shacks. Four little raggedy shacks. And I said, it's the most beautiful thing I ever seen. But it's so raggedy. But then God let me see it. God let me see it. He said, now, I said to Brother Joe and Jose, I said, this is ours. This is where our fasting retreat is going to be for people who want to come and stay on. And then Brother Joe say, can you walk the Lookout Mountain? I said, Brother Joe, this is Lookout Mountain. We're on the mountain. And he said, oh. And so today, I'm by faith, I'm just going, I'm signing those papers. I'm getting that spot on the mountain. On the mountain, you can look out over the Tennessee River. You can look out over Chattanooga. You can look out. It's on the mountain. In the mountain, as a matter of fact. I said, don't worry about it. I said, we can do this. I said, don't forget out. I mean, it's raggedy. But to me, it was the most beautiful raggedy shack I ever saw. I said, the main thing, it's already got water. It's already got electricity. It's already got foundation. And it's by itself, off on the highway. Go on through. Whatever you got to go through, go on through. And it's so affordable that even if I wasn't going to do it, I would still buy it and resell it. But a drunk that had been delivered in this ministry told somebody else that I needed a retreat in the mountain where people could go and fast and pray and stay up there on the mountain. And still, because I always tell people anyway, because God told me, take them up to the mountain. I said, look at this. This is on the mountain. Now, the church is on the mountain, but that's a real mountain. I just want y'all to pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's all I want you to pray. And you gotta do 35 miles an hour coming down off. It's so curved, so many curves and high up and on the side of the mountain. It's right in the mountain. It's in the mountain. That's right. Not only on the mountain, Jessica, on the mountaintop. Brothers and sisters, go through, not in your strength, because I'm telling you, you can't do it. And you don't know the plans that God has for you. Now, whenever we get this, whatever we got to do, that's a little job. That's a job for somebody. And what does that also tell you? It was in Tennessee. It was in Georgia where General Sherman formulated the plan. But it was in Tennessee where the battles took place. Hello, Jesus. Jesus. So I got to lock this all down today. And you know what else? Any other time, I might not even would have had the money to give to the guy. But God, I got it. To get the ball rolling. And I'm going to lock it down today. Through the kindness and the generosity of some of you headliners, and the fact that I don't live extravagantly. I live very, very comfortably, but I don't have a lot of, you know. So So I'm prepared for this. I really am. In the name of Jesus. And by the power of his own Holy Spirit, I'm prepared for this. And the devil, you know how the devil is. You know the devil was going to come talking, right? Do you know how old you are, Erica? Don't say, do you know how old you are, Erica? How you going to be going up that mountain? I say, devil, God going to give me a Jeep, you idiot. What you think? That's the way you have to talk to the devil. And the devil shut up. He shut up. This thing is real. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. So we'll be in Georgia and in Tennessee. And wherever you are. Because most of you, some of you are going to have your ministry under this ministry. So Tennessee and then wherever you are, we will be. You hear me, devil? Get me. Get it. Get it. I got it. I got the strategy. I got the plan. I know how to proceed from here. In the name of Jesus. And guess what? Everything you need, stores, park, everything you need is 10 minutes away. Now the only thing you must have a vehicle, but people come here have to have a vehicle anyway. You have to have a vehicle to get up there. I mean, you know, it's a highway. No, you don't. No, you. I wonder if you can walk. Well, that's a question, Brother Joe had. Since you own Lookout Mountain, you still have to be able to come up and down the mountain. I don't know. All those things will get worked out tomorrow. But can you join me in saying, this is what I got to say to the devil. Good morning. Welcome to Ted Line, coming to you from on top of Lookout Mountain. Yay! Where you can look out and see 6 states at one time. Coming to you from on top of Lookout Mountain. Maybe once a week or twice a week, I don't know. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 through 10 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. The Bible says, there remaineth a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for the person who has entered God's rest has him or herself rested from their own works as God did from his. Verse 10 is saying to us that the person who has entered into God's rest has themselves ceased and rested from their own works. Brothers and sisters, too often we don't cease from our own works, but we continue to do our own works, not finding the peace in our souls that comes only by resting in God. When there is a lack of peace and a lack of rest in your soul, hear this, your flesh is compelled to do something to attempt to bring peace and comfort to your soul. In other words, if your soul is not resting in God, if your emotions stirred up all the time and not at peace, if your mind is continually not at peace and not resting in the Lord, you're going to find that your flesh will be compelled to try to do something to bring peace to your soul. Mind you, the things that your flesh tell you to do to bring you this peace, you later going to find out that they do not work, that they do not bring you peace. As a matter of fact, when you fulfill these things, they demand more from you. And peace is not brought into your heart, your mind, your will, your emotions, or your intellect. What am I talking about? Your soul. The truth is, only Jesus Christ can bring peace to your soul. It is only by dwelling in Jesus Christ that we can enter into the rest of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You see, the children of Israel did not enter the promised land because they believed 10 wrong-believing spies who told them that the giants were too strong for them. Who told them that they would be defeated if they went into the land. The multitude refused, of course, to believe Joshua and Caleb, who saw the same things as the other spies, but came to the very opposite conclusion. Now, the Lord told the Israelites that he would give them the battle, but they were unwilling to believe what God said. Again, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. You see, they heard the word of God, but they didn't put faith in what God said. They put more faith in what the unbelieving 10 spies said. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. And so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. As a result, they did not enter into God's best. Because in order to enter into God's best, you must have God's peace or God's shalom. You see, the reason, or maybe one of the reasons, that we don't enter God's rest, which is really God's blessings that he has for us through his peace, could it be because of the unbelief in our hearts? Could it be because we don't believe that God, through Jesus, by the power of his own Holy Spirit, is really, really, really faithful? Faithful to bring his peace, faithful to bring his joy, and faithful to meet our needs. You see? Could it be that we don't really trust in the reality that God is our source? Could it be that we don't really trust in the reality that Jesus really can give us the peace and the joy and the comfort within our souls, and the peace and the joy and the comfort that comes through having a healed body? Could it be that we don't really trust in the reality because we're still obeying our stinking, rotten flesh, and we're still believing the deceitful lies and the empty promises of the devil? You see, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, in the Amplified Bible says, but instead warn, admonish, urge, and encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened into subtle rebellion by the deceitfulness of sin, that is, by the fraudulence, the stratagem, the trickery, with the delusive glamour of the devil and his sin plays on us. Sin defrauds us. Sin takes away from us. Sin causes us not to be able to enter into God's rest. Sin causes us not to be able to even comprehend and receive God's best, which is God's blessing for us. And sin gives us a strategy and a trickery to take us captive unto itself. You see, sin in your flesh will rise up promising you, promising your mind, promising your emotions, all kinds of peace. Listen, post this, 8 people on that chat room, 8 or 12 either. Sin cannot deliver what it promises. Sin cannot deliver what it promises. Sin cannot deliver what it promises. Sin can never deliver what it promises. Why, are you saying? Here's why. Because the Bible says The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Death to everything sin touches. Sin is stinking and filthy and rotten and causes things to die. But the Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life, eternal joy, eternal peace through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for there is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Hear me this morning. The Son of God, the God-man Jesus, is the perfect mediator who unites men with God, obtaining for them salvation and divine life, obtaining for them salvation and abundant life. This is an extraordinary conciliation. Excludes any other way of salvation apart from Jesus. Yes, God, Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of everything. Jesus is the only teacher from whom we must learn, the only Lord on whom we should depend, the only head to whom we should be united, and the only model that we should imitate. Jesus Christ is the only physician that has never lost a patient. Jesus Christ, the great physician, can heal us. The only shepherd that can feed us. The only way that can lead us. The only truth that we can believe. Jesus Christ, the only life that can animate us. Jesus Christ alone is everything, and he alone can satisfy all our desires. Brothers and sisters, each one of us who is not united to him is like a branch broken from the stem of the vine. It falls and it withers. It's fit only to be burnt. When we live in Jesus and Jesus lives in us, we need not fear. When we live in Jesus and Jesus lives in us, we can do all things. Praise God. Nothing is impossible for him, and nothing will be impossible for us. When we live in Jesus Christ, and we render all honor and all glory to our Father God in the unity of his own Holy Spirit, through the power of the finished work of the cross. It will begin to be for you and I on earth as it is in heaven. And the way you get there is by entering into God's rest and ceasing from your own labor. I'll see you in the morning. Stop striving. Rest. Enter into God's rest. Blessings. I'll see you in the morning.
Thank you. Go!